This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
8:03 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. So, Jeremy. The league, MLB, is going to experiment with the challenge system in spring training for balls and strikes. By the way, Ed left here at a doctor's appointment, for those of you wondering. Your thoughts on this?
Look, I think it's a perfect time to start trying stuff. I watched, who was it? I think it was Luis Gil, you know, the guy that shouldn't have won an American League Rookie of the Year last year, threw a pitch to Aaron Judge, and it was called a ball, and he questioned it, and they went back and looked at it, and it was a strike. So I think some of the things, if you want to try, spring training is the best time to do it, to see if it's working out. Or, ironically, you try it in the minors and see how it goes. But I feel like all the leagues are trying to find out at the end of the year, what's wrong with our league? How do we fix it? And sometimes there's nothing wrong.
I hate challenging balls and strikes. We just found a way to speed the game up, and now you're about to go the opposite way. How about you just go to the system where it's electronic? Go to that. Challenging balls and strikes may be one of the dumbest things. You just slowed the game down. Why are you adding things to it?
Joe, so you said it adds 17?
It takes about 17 seconds to challenge a
How
ball.
Many challenges do you get?
Two.
Are there
two per game, 17 seconds.
But are there umpire challenges? Are there like...
Only the batter and the pitcher can challenge.
Okay.
I still like it.
I ain't leaving it up to them. You know how many guys on the basketball court tell the guy to, hey, replay it. I didn't foul.
Well, that's why everyone's like, you're going to, the pitcher and the batter are going to run out of challenges in the first three innings because they're going to say.
So you get two whether you're right or not.
You get two. That's it. You don't get any more. If you're right, you don't get to keep it. It's done.
Okay.
I don't know if I want to leave. It's got to be up to the manager. It can't be up to, like, you know how players are. Man, I ain't strike out. And then you go back and look at it, and it's, oh, yeah, it was a strike. Yeah. Man, that wasn't a strike. I don't care what you say. I agree with Joe. You'd end up running out early.
I know why they're doing it with the players. Because if the manager does it, he has to see a replay first.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, so now you're probably, Joe, if it's up to the manager, I guarantee you it would take no longer than 17 seconds.
I think you have to trust the player. The player almost has to look and go, this is the one, and then he gives you the thumbs up.
Right. I'm telling you, that If the manager made a decision, it would probably take a little bit longer.
I think you might be right on this, that like either go to it or don't.
Yeah.
Just like,
it's like, you know, you're trying to save the feelings of the umpires.
Like, don't tell me you care about balls and strikes when you kept Angel Hernandez in business for all these years and he's been the worst umpire out of everyone.
In all fairness, you know, they tried to fire him several times, but he kept fouling.
I don't fire his ass. Like, how can you not look at his... What he's done in games, his percentage of right calls. And he tried to claim it was, racial or...
Yeah, they literally couldn't fire him.
One of the dumbest things. Hey, you're the worst umpire we have. Oh, yeah, but you can't fire me because it's discrimination. No, it's not. You're terrible at your job.
You're right. You're right.
It's not like I'm making it up. You can go check the numbers.
He's the worst. He was the worst umpire for years.
But that's what I was going to ask you with, like...
So while we're saving their feelings, how about save the game? Go to the umpire. Listen, for those of you to think the umpire is not still there behind home plate, he still is. The umpire still has to be there because there are check swings involved.
Calls at
home
plate.
Plays at the plate. Yeah, he's still there. He reminds the pitcher to count, all those things. He's just, you're taking the responsibility of something that's so discretionary away from him. Mm-hmm. I take it away from him.
Well, and the other part of this, too, is like, I was going to ask you this, because I've had umpires say, it's not your strike zone, it's my strike zone. But not all players are the same size, so the strike zone's obviously going to be different. And I've seen umps line up where I think they're lined up wrong. It's like, how are you going to see a pitch on the inside of the plate if you're continuously lining up on the outside of the plate of a hitter?
I used to play, we called it Bush League, semi-pro baseball in South Carolina. And the umpire said that to me. He says, it's not your strike zone, it's my strike zone. I said, well, it's not your at-bat, it's my at-bat. Get it right.
Ain't nobody come to see you, umpire.
Get it right. He didn't like that. He called something way off the plate on me, strike three. But yeah, and that's another thing. You know, sometimes you officials get petty.
Oh, yeah.
You get petty.
It happens. And, you know, like, I do think there are times where I've seen officials hold it against, I'm not just saying me, a player, could be an opposing coach. When it's opposed to coach, I don't give a rat's ass. But like, that wasn't fair. You know, like watching somebody get teed up is like, he didn't do anything wrong. He asked you a question. You're just being sensitive.
I got to admit, man, I don't know whether it's veteran status or not. I haven't got teed up in 2 years. I normally get like 5 a year.
Yeah. I'm honestly.
Maybe I'm chilled more. I don't know.
Maybe you're just winning more. maybe your team just got better. I ain't got any reason to argue. We're up 15. But, you know, but like, again, we've seen it. I'm not saying this is all officials, but we all have that. They like to throw it in with baseball, the human element. Like, we all can get caught up in our feelings or not like the way that somebody looked at us. Do you remember when Madison Bumgarner had the stare down with Country Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Him and Joe West just stared at each other for like 30 seconds after a call.
Yeah, I know.
And then Joe West was waiting for him to say something to kick him out of the game. It's just, nobody came to see you. Just do your job. Do your effing job, hump.
Sorry. Ain't nobody come to see you.
They didn't. I hate when we get this, like, things are going to come down and games are going to be decided by certain calls. There's going to be a gray area for all of it. Mistakes will be made.
Yes.
But, like, I hate when they continuously make mistakes and think that, you know, they're bigger than the game, and it's like, oh, he didn't like my call. Well, if he said something derogatory to you, give him a technical. Kick him out of the game or whatever. Throw a flag. But I feel like we get this way too much, man, where umps interfere with the game.
410-583-1057, that's the number.
Or refs.
Jeff Ehrman joins us at 8:45 to talk Terps, but on the other side, Tony Clark took exception to Rob Manfred's claim that work stoppages can be positive. Are we already headed towards a lockout in 2027? Talk about a salary cap. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 8:15 in the morning. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. World is Stupid at 8:30. Don't go anywhere. But right now, Tony Clark is, he's almost like the most powerful man in baseball, isn't he?
We've talked about this. We think a lot of us believe that the Major League Baseball Players Association might be the strongest union out there.
He's the executive director of the Major League Baseball Players Association, former player, former first baseman, played for Detroit and a couple of other teams throughout his career. Well, he took exception to Rob Manfred's claim that work stoppages can be positive. Do you think Rob Manfred's claim was already getting us ready for a possible work stoppage in 2027?
There's no doubt in my mind. Trying to put a spin on it, like, oh, but this is where we hash things out. And, like, you know, we were talking about football earlier, and there was a lot of talk of the franchise tag and getting franchise. The NFL players went to the table, and they wanted to make sure weed was not something they were going to get penalized for anymore.
And so it should be that way.
It should be that way, but like they felt like they had one thing that they could go after. You know, you're asking for certain things, and you want some give and take here. And instead of, hey, you shouldn't be able to franchise me 2 years in a row and kind of control where I can go, i.e. what's happening with T. Higgins. But I agree with it on the baseball side with Tony Clark. Like, we've talked about this. There are some good things that have gone on under Rob Manfred over the past couple years. But ultimately, I can't stand the guy, and I think he's full of it, man. Like, this stuff, and we talked about this yesterday, they could have come back early enough, but they couldn't get out of their own way when COVID was going on. And you could have been the only thing going on at that time and stealing all these new eyes to hopefully get them.
Right.
And it was a perfect opportunity in a bad situation. But we end up getting a 60-game season because they can't. And then on top of it, calling the World Series trophy a piece of metal, you know, basically telling fans, hey, we're really close. I guarantee. Don't guarantee anything unless it's a guarantee.
Yeah.
You're supposed to follow through.
You can't be in that position, use the word a guarantee, and not follow
you
up.
You took the reservation. You just didn't hold it.
Now, a work stoppage, if possible, could happen in 2027. Rob Manfred doesn't step down from commissioner until January 2029. So being that he's already going into this with that mindset, it scares me.
Yeah.
It does. Because baseball right now is probably at its highest point it has been in maybe 20-some years.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And this is, it feels like when someone says that a work stoppage can be a good thing.
Yeah.
For who? For the sides involved? Like, you guys get time to figure it out? I'm not saying I'd rather see scabs out there because, again, that's just going to help the league. But I've become totally pro player in a lot of situations because growing up, it was always like, oh, you got to be, how come you're not for the team and doing this? Well, how come they ain't doing that for him either? Guys aren't getting rewarded unless you have this amazing season.
Yeah.
You know, you're,
especially football.
Yeah.
But like, I just saw a stat. Matthew Stafford has 2 years, $58 million left on his contract. Zero guarantee. That means he doesn't have a contract.
Yeah.
None of the money's. How you got $58 million? How do you owe me $58 million, but none of it's guaranteed? That's the biggest crock ever.
Yeah.
People let them get away with that.
And
I sign a contract that means nothing. You don't have to live up to it, but I have to live up to it. Baseball more is guaranteed. You're gonna get your money. You know what I mean? But
hey, dirty. Sorry, maybe I got your money.
Like December 1st, 2026. The CBA, current CBA in baseball expires.
There's no doubt in my mind we're going to have a...
Don't say that.
A stoppage.
No.
There's no doubt. It's just, you don't come out and say stupid things like Rob Manfred unless you're bracing for that, or if you're trying to send a message to the Players Association like, hey, we're ready for a stoppage if that's what you guys
want. Well, Tony Clark heard him loud and clear. That Baseball Players Association will not buckle. What do you think Manfred is angling for? Because evidently, he's the one angling for the owners, because this didn't start from the player side. This is starting from the owners.
I'm wondering if it's some of these large contracts, or if they're trying to, like the salary cap thing, you can push it all you want. They're never going to give in to that. They're just not.
Players.
Yeah, like you would have to offer something so great to them that make sense for the guys now, and then it screws the guys over down the line with the salary cap. And by the way, the sport needs a salary cap. It does. If you want a level playing field, and I know baseball's different, but you can't tell me the Dodgers have given themselves a better chance to win year in and year out with all the money they've spent.
See, this is why I don't believe it's the salary cap. I don't want to guarantee it.
I don't think it is either.
But this is why I don't think so. You said you had a fact yesterday. I don't know whether you said it on air or off air, but it wasn't a secret. You said the Pirates have not signed a multi-year deal since 2016?
They signed Ivan Nova in 2016 to a three-year, like, $23 million deal. That's the largest contract they've had.
And that's since then?
Since then.
Okay.
They should disband the Pirates.
This is why I don't believe you want a cap. I don't believe the owners want a cap, because the Pirates don't want a cap. The Brewers don't want a cap.
It's the same thing you talk about. With a cap comes a floor. They don't want you to tell them that they have to spend money.
Because with where baseball is in spending right now, the cap's not going to be less than 250. I'm thinking close to 3. So if it's 300, let's just go 250. It's going to be more than that, but let's say 250. That means the floor is going to be 100 million or more. There are too many teams that don't want to spend that kind of money.
Well, you saw what the A's were doing. The A's were spending money. They were spending money in the offseason because they had to.
Yep. So, literally.
Yeah. I mean, because they had like nobody under contract on their roster that wasn't somebody that was caught up or a 1 or 2 year veteran free agent. Like they signed Brent Rooker, which was a good signing.
That was a very good signing.
But like, Rob, so Ed asked me the question the other day about we were off the air yesterday saying, hey, are you a Mavericks fan or are you a Luka fan? And I told him, And I'll bring this full circle. I told him, like, I can't root for that front office of what they did to him.
Right.
I just think it's so wrong. Nico Collins is so full of it. What a scumbag to go. He wants to sign all of his former Nike guys. He's an idiot and got a job. The goofball that looks like he's from the front of Mad Magazine that owns the team, except he's got a freshman 50 on him running his mouth because he's had a silver spoon in it in his entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have somebody ruin something you love
right.
and take it away from you. And I think that's what's going to happen with Rob Manfred.
Right.
I feel like he's going to screw things up so badly by a stoppage and ownership and all the things that are going on where these guys just can't sit down in a room and hash it out.
Let's go to Rosedale. Get Todd. What's up, Todd?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. Doing well. How are you?
I just heard you talking about the Pirates. I mean, it's pretty pathetic that they let Rowdy Tellez go at a certain amount of bets, not paying $250,000.
Absolutely, man. Teams like that, Todd, don't want there to be a salary cap.
Like Oakland, it is for you. Free agents Tampa, don't want to sign there.
Miami, they don't want a salary cap.
And also, too, the problem with the floor is I think you're going to have a lot of players. If you have a floor, you're going to have a lot of terrible players making money they shouldn't make to get to that floor.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to because there's going to be teams that are.
Well, see, no, see, that's where it balances out, though, Todd. You might have, I mean, define too much money. Instead of you signing these big old $50, $60 million a year contracts, those are going to go away. So you know how many players, veteran players, Jeremy, in baseball that get left without homes in spring training because the top level teams are signing the top superstars and the bottom teams don't want those guys because they don't want to spend $8 million on them. Well, they're worth $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those guys that are left without a home are now going to start having homes. I don't think it's the fact that they're not worth it. I think the problem is it's so top-heavy. Those guys get left without jobs.
I don't know how the league looks at – I mean, I know the Pirates just got a beautiful new stadium. But if I was a Pittsburgh fan and I've been watching this baseball team and we just drafted Paul Skeens and might have the best
Burn.
Out, like, they should disband that team or move it somewhere else where someone's going to appreciate having a damn baseball team. And it's not the fans' fault. It's dumbass ownership.
I think that's what other owners, who, if they really cared about the league, will force you to sell.
He's got
to
be the worst owner in sports.
Let's go to Westminster and get Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, morning. Hey.
Good morning.
Yeah, I would belong actually to probably the biggest union, IUEC, elevator constructors throughout the whole nation. But these guys, when you sign a contract, you're under a contract. So you're saying that the guy, they're holding him, but what's he making, $20, $25 million a year?
Who are we talking about?
I mean, you talking about when I talk about T. Higgins?
Yeah. He signed a contract, so he's under contract.
He didn't sign a contract. They have the option to franchise him. His contract is up.
Yeah.
But because they drafted him, they can franchise him and pay him 20% more than what the top five guys average at his position. And when you franchise him a second time, now you got to pay him 20% more of what you just paid him. And there's a lot of teams that don't want to do it, but what teams do is they franchise him and they wait for you to trade for him, and then you send him where he doesn't want to go.
Yeah, Matt, he's not under contract. His contract expired almost 2 years ago now.
But even if he was under contract, you use your leverage accordingly how you have it.
Matt with the yeah, but. Matt, there's no yeah, but. He's not under contract.
It's a franchise rule.
That's another thing I don't like. That's a five-year deal. How do you tell me I can't leave?
But how
do you tell me I to Matt's theme, yeah, I did. I had a contract. It was 5 years. I did 5 years. Now either give me another contract or let me go.
And you know what's sad for this guy? Because like T. Higgins doesn't want to come in and go, oh, I rolled my ankle. I'm out for the rest of the year and collect his money. Because why? Because after that season, he's in another contract year.
Jeff Ehrman will join us at 8:45. But on the other side, Jeremy Conn, it's the World of Stupid.
Yeah, we've got some interesting stuff today. Drew and I, we're going to go over a couple of different stories. Some sad stories. Men were out looking for Sasquatch. I don't want to tell you what happened to him, but I'm going to. Amanda was arrested in the UK for a gigantic cheese heist.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to be talking about an NFL star that got in hot water yesterday. See what you think about Chris Cluey if you didn't hear the story. And lastly, a school staffer that was allegedly caught on camera having sex with a student. But she's got a really good reason why it happened. So maybe maybe she won't get in trouble.
She got a note.
No, she's got something better than a note. We'll talk about it next in the World of Stupid.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we start off with this, and I'm just going to read part of the headline, and I want you to tell me how you think this ends. Two men went out looking for Sasquatch. Do A, you think they found him? B, they died? Or C, they found him and then they died?
Where was this?
Two men looking for Sasquatch.
Not what? Where?
This is in Oregon. I'll save you some trouble. They were found dead.
Okay.
The hell are you doing looking for Sasquatch? I mean, all these people talking about the Loch Ness Monster, and it could have been a whale's penis poking out of the water. You know, like...
So how'd they die?
From overexposure, okay. From the cold. Because
they
were out to
them. Do you believe this is Sasquatch?
No, man. People looking for Bigfoot and Sasquatch. Like, what, do you think...
So that's why I didn't. That's why I didn't know how to act, because I don't believe there's a Sasquatch, so they would have to die of something else.
Let's just, like, hey, you want to go out in the... Let's go to the North Pole and look for Santa Claus. It's the same thing, guys.
No, it's not, because there really is a Santa Claus.
No, I'm saying you're not going to find him.
Oh, okay.
You get what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, of course there's a Santa Claus. Like, what do you think I do every December 24th? I'm out flying that damn sleigh and getting ready for the Santa Claus 4 or 5, whatever's coming out. But, like, we see this. There was another story today that I could have used where a woman was trying to take a selfie on a train. Guess what happened? She fell off the train and died.
Ooh.
Like, what are we doing? Like, you need to get a perfect picture that it has to be that dangerous? Like, people just do stupid things.
They do all the time.
Speaking of stupid things, there was a man arrested in the UK. You like cheese? Are you a cheese guy at all?
Yeah, somewhat.
Like,
somewhat, yeah.
White people love cheese. Like, all kinds of cheese. Like, we'll have parties where you're like, man, there's 12 different types of cheese here. That one's creamy and it's got fruit in it and it's a cheese? Is this goat cheese? Well, some cat in the UK stole $389,000 worth of cheddar. What the hell are you going to do with all that? I guess it doesn't go bad. It just becomes more smelly cheese.
Yeah.
I don't like the really smelly one, man.
I don't like smelly cheese. I like cheese and crackers. I'll have, what's the white cheese?
You like cheddar or like?
I like cheddar.
There's
love,
a white cheddar. You got
cheddar.
Provolone. You've got Swiss.
No, maybe that is white cheddar. I love Swiss cheese. Yeah. I love Swiss cheese. I put that on crackers. I don't like. I don't like the cheese spreads. The liquid. The one you. Like aerosol.
Oh, that no, no. I like the softer cheeses too. Like, my wife makes this great fruit and brie dish, wrapped in a
brie.
Yeah, wrapped in a, like a little like I don't know like a croissant or some sort of bread or whatever. It's really good. But I love goat cheese, and it's something as a kid. If you said, "Hey, this came from a goat," and I'm like, "I ain't eating it." And now, like, if I see goat cheese on the menu, I'm probably ordering it.
Yeah, I'm not a goat cheese guy.
I love it, but. Who the what the hell? A 63-year-old man stole $389,000 worth of cheddar. I mean, it's just absurd. Let's get to this. NFL star Chris Clouie, very outspoken. I don't know if you remember this. He was very outspoken on behalf of gay marriage. He was against religion. I've always liked Chris Clouie. Maybe he went too far with this one. So former NFL star punter Chris Clouie was dragged out of a California council meeting by police for civil disobedience after a rant where he compared Donald Trump's MAGA supporters to Nazis. Look, I'm not a big fan of MAGA. I don't hide that. I haven't hit anything. I'm not a big Trump. I don't like Trump, period. But at some point, you can't sit here and call everyone Nazis that voted for him. That's not the case. Like, and I don't know why we do this in society where it's like, hey, these are the businesses that do this, so don't go there. They support this company. Like what you like. Live your life. What makes you happy?
Say it again.
Live your life. Thank like you. What you like.
Thank you.
Like,
mind your business. That's more important. Mind your business. I don't care about your personal principles. I don't care. Just live by them. Let me live by mine. Mind your business. I don't have to think like you, act like you, talk like you, like the things you like. And if that means we can't get along, on to the next one.
It's so silly to me because like people are siding with politicians when...
You don't know them?
They all lie to you. They're all telling you lies. Hey, look at this. While this is going on over here, we're uncovering this. It's a bunch of BS, man. And I don't understand why it comes down to stuff like this where people... Getting fights. And like Chris Clouie's outspoken. He actually describes himself as a troublemaker extraordinaire. And he spoke at this Huntington Beach Council meeting. And again, like I'm all for free speech and talking about things. I just don't think you can label an entire group as something. It's not fair to them. Like, again, if we took race and we said all black people do this, all Asian people do this, all white people do this, the only one we'd be right about is the white people.
But see, here's the problem. Jeremy, I'm going to take you to something that's – think about this for a second. If you said all black people did something, you're racist.
Yeah.
However, if I do something that another black person thinks that's out of the character of a black person, then they say I'm not really black. It's okay then.
That is – yeah, that's a okay weird then. Thing.
It's all nonsense.
Yeah.
It's all nonsense.
Again, it's something that we deal with in life. And like, look, on this show, we talk about everything. We talk about everything. And I like couldn't have different viewpoints politically than some people. Ed and I bump heads. I'm sure Rob and I bump heads. I can't even figure out what the hell Rob is. He's doing such a good job. I don't know. But like... And I mean that with all due respect. Like, it's not a negative.
Trust
it's just,
me. Take it as a compliment.
Yeah, because, like, again, because of how you perceive things, like, you're. I don't think you settle on one thing. And that's what – I don't consider myself a liberal. I don't consider myself right-wing or any of that stuff. I mean, I'd probably say I'd lean more liberal things. But, like, but that's because I care about people and gay marriage and all these things. Like, who cares? Go have fun. Live your life. You want to be miserable and get married? Do it. I mean, come on, man. Like, but all of these things that go on, we can't have conversations about it because it ends relationships.
Joe, what I learned today, Miss Katie doesn't listen to the show.
Hold on. Look, of all the things I've ever done, that's the one thing I got right, man. That, like, my wife is a damn angel. She's a good girl, too, and I can say that. Hey, here, let's get to this last story. School staffer allegedly caught on camera having sex with a student claims... that she shouldn't be in trouble. She may have been drunk.
Wait a minute. That's the excuse?
That's her argument, and I'm sticking to it. An Idaho high school staffer was allegedly filmed engaged in sex acts with a student on campus in Idaho.
Exactly.
Cheetah. telling cops she may have been too drunk to remember anything.
That's what she said when it was over.
Lady.
Why'd you do that? Idaho.
Mary Strong, a 53-year-old teaching assistant at Tammany High School in the Lewiston Independent School District in Idaho, has been charged with inappropriate relationship with a 16 or 17-year-old victim. They're still trying to, I guess they're trying to figure out who the victim was. But you're caught on video on school property and you go, hey, it's not my fault, I was drunk. You came to work drunk? You think that's, hey, officer, I bought bad drugs. This guy sold me a bunch of flour. The hell you want me to do? You're doing something illegal too, dumbass.
Oh.
But this lady, to use the excuse she was drunk for doing something like this, shut up.
And it's definitely an offense because Idaho, the legal age of consent, we've seen 16 some places, it's 18.
Hey, you want to see a picture of her?
She doesn't look like she has teeth.
I think the kid was drunk. So,
she doesn't look like she has teeth.
She might not.
Maybe he's in
there. Maybe she took him out. Hey, good for you, Grandma. That's your world of stupid.
Thank you very much.
Ugh.
Oh, Jeff Irvin joins us to talk some Terps hoops up next on The Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now. Courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline, friend of the program, Jeff Irvin. What's going on, Jeff?
What's up, fellas? How you doing this morning?
Doing well. Listen, man, them Terps are rolling right now. I'm loving them. Jeremy put a stat out the other day. They said they're top 20 offense, top 20 defense. Not many teams in the country are like that. What is the biggest improvement so far for this Terps basketball team, in your opinion?
Overall, you got to say it's the shooting, right? Last year, they shot 27% from three. You know, one of the worst teams in the country. This year, they're up in the mid to high 30% range. They've got several shooters, whereas last year was basically give the ball to Jameer Young and just hope he can do, you know, hope he can score enough and you can play good enough defense to win. Obviously, that didn't work out, you know, first losing season in 30 years other than the year that Mark Turgeon left early. So the balance has been really good, all five starters and double figures. So they're just worlds better all around than last year.
And Jeff, I'm assuming you put it out as well, or at least you saw it, that Jameer Young signed a two-way deal with the Bulls yesterday. So good for him, as he was killing it in the G League. So that's a nice thing for a former Terp. But one of the things that I saw you tweeting about, and we've kind of talked about it, is attendance. Do you feel like it's lacking? It seems like the Michigan State game should be a good spot. I don't know what USC is going to look like tonight, but what are your thoughts on attendance?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's lacking. It has been, you know, in somewhat of a downward trajectory for a little while now. You know, I think it's a few things. First off, obviously, you're looking at, you know, a couple decades of extended, you know, you could say mediocrity, essentially, at least as opposed to, as compared to the standards of the program and what they had been doing before that under Gary Williams. So, you know, you go to one Sweet 16 in 20 years, don't have a lot of big, high-level success. You're going to lose a few generations of fans, both, you know, the ones you already have. You have people becoming apathetic, and then in terms of the students and younger fans, they're not experiencing that high-level success that turns you into a diehard. So I think what you're seeing is that there's – and then also the university has become far more academically prestigious over the years, much higher level of student that's now being admitted than there was 20, 30 years ago. So, you know, it's both more demanding and, you know, a lot of people feel like the typical profile of the student is a little more academic than – athletic as opposed to earlier. So you add all those things up and, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a lag in terms of like the fan attendance spike that you get from being a better team like they're having this year. But I'm sure Michigan State will be packed to the ceiling.
Jeff Irvin, a founder of Inside Maryland Sports, joins us right now, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Jeff, you're looking at this Big Ten conference. I think it's the second best conference in the country behind the SEC. Let's say Maryland finishes up pretty strong, wins a couple of games in the Big Ten tournament. Where do you see them being placed in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, Rob, I think if they do that, if they, you know, finish up pretty strong here, and then in these final handful of games, and then win a couple games there. Probably a 4 to 5 seed would be my guess. You know, right now, I think most people have them as a 5 or 6, and they've been rising pretty quickly. You know, a week or so ago, a week and a half, they were a 7 or an 8 in most projections that I've seen. So, you know, most likely I see them, unless they were to suddenly cool off, you know, they're on this great this hot streak, I think they'll be in that 4 to 5 range. But you never know. If you say you win out and then win 2 or 3 games in the Big Ten tournament, then you're going to be, you know, up there closer to maybe a 3 or 4.
Yeah, the Big Ten tournament in Indy, and look, I think they have an excellent shot. It's weird to say this because I'm not some blind homer or anything, but if you asked me to pick a team that I thought could make a surprise run, I would pick Maryland. I think they have the backcourt that you would like. You have two players that size-wise can be difference makers. And I mean, Derek Queen's special, and you're getting to see how much better he was. That play around his back in the open floor with a rebound, you don't see most guards make that play, man. Yeah. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you think there is a ceiling for this team? Because I did see them ranked in the top 20 in defensive and offensive efficiency at one point.
Yeah, Jeremy, that's popping up a lot now, them as a sleeper, not just among, you know, Maryland fans or observers, but nationally you're starting to see people make mention of them in that light. And they fit a lot of profiles of teams that can make runs in the postseason. Like you said, top 20 offense and defense. You know, there's a category that's become increasingly popular in recent years called the kill shot, which is a 10-point, teams capable of 10-point runs. As of, or 10-0 runs, I should say, as of a few weeks ago, they were number one in the country. Wow. in 10-0 runs. So they have the ability to take over a game. I think the only real question is depth. You know, in a tournament format, when you're playing pretty regularly, it helps to have a bench. And really, their bench has not outscored the opponent in a Big Ten game or any of the other games they played against Power Conference teams. You know, the bench hasn't once outscored the opponent. So that, to me, is the concern. You know, if a couple guys are having an off night, or you have someone in foul trouble or something like that, or just fatigue sets in, you know, are you going to be able to withstand that without much scoring punch from the bench? But otherwise, they do have a lot of the pieces and the appearance of that kind of team that can make a run in March.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there with the depth stuff. I mean, I heard Kevin Willard on our airwaves talking about it, said he feels comfortable with his players. But in that Iowa game, didn't the starting five score 90 of the 100 points?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just
– yeah.
That's. I mean, you're relying legally, a lot on
– I think
guys.
He's legally obligated to say he's comfortable with it. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then the other game, I'm trying to remember which one, all 83 points, the bench didn't score a single point. So the bench is literally averaging probably 6 points a game lately. It's just not, there's not shooters there, and there's not a lot of front court scores. There's a few guys who can do a little bit for you here and there, so I don't want to paint it as, you know, completely, you know, empty bench. But yeah, that's the biggest, I think, biggest concern out of anything.
Jeff Ehrman, tell folks in Baltimore about Inside Maryland Sports.
Yeah, Inside MD Sports is on the 24/7 Sports Network and CBS.com. We're covering recruiting, football, basketball, everything Terps related that you want to know about. So come check us out.
You're the man. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Jeremy, the Maryland Public School Basketball Tournament is about to begin real soon. Many people don't know that there's a Maryland private school state basketball tournament as well. This will be the third year of it. We actually appeared in the last year. Mark Stern, who is on the board of that, will join us up next, educate us a little bit.
Nice.
Right here on The Fan.